Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is another edition of the Lucas and Crawford B-Ball Show. We do this show at 10 o'clock every Wednesday night, Pacific Daylight Time. We take a little time off occasionally. I know Richard will be off next week, but we're pretty consistent doing this show every Wednesday night at 10 o'clock. I am Greg Crawford, and you can follow me on Twitter at WC Hoops. And the real star of this show is Richard Lucas, the greatest State Farm insurance owner on the continent. I don't even know what the continent means anymore, but the name's changing of all these countries. He is the greatest husband, father, greatest landscaper, greatest center at the University of Oregon after the great Blair Rasmussen. Richard was equally great, played 4 years with Terrell Brandon. And let's not waste any more time, and let's get him on here. And Richard, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing just fine. I'm actually totally okay with you wasting some more time, spouting my accolades and greatness. So if you want to continue with that, that's fine.
Yes, I will be happy to do that. Richard also gives great customer service. He always calls people back. He and I are going to have a big announcement coming up within the next week. It's going to be exciting for the game of basketball. And there's a lot of other great stuff about Richard. He's a pillar in the community. People really like him. I'm not sure how much Dana Altman talks to him, but he's also got an outstanding young man who's just a quality human being that happens to play for Kansas. And Richard, your son, Landon Lucas, had a great tournament game that we talked about before, but we pick up new listeners all the time. Man, can he rebound, and what an unselfish player Landon is. A real credit to you and his coaches that he in high school and now to Bill Self.
Yeah, you know, with Landon, it's kind of funny because he's very much a throwback kind of player. Post player. He likes to catch the ball in the post with his back to the basket. He is okay with utilizing the letter C next to his name. And for those who don't understand what I mean, the center position, I mean, if you see nowadays, it seems like almost every starting lineup shows GGFFF because people have had such a negative connotation to being a center. It's okay to be a center. It's okay to have different roles and different positions on the floor, and he's okay with that. And part of being a center is defending the post rebounding, blocking shots, being a rim protector. And so those are all the things that he likes, and it seems like it's a lost art nowadays. And so for him, it's what he has grown up knowing.
Yeah, very good. What do you think about the Kansas team next year? I mean, I really think they're Final Four material. What does Landon say? Kind of a disappointment this year, quite frankly, tournament time. And I really think that – I kind of think they got to have a big year that kind of – you know, get everybody rejuvenated about Kansas basketball. Not that they're not ever going to sell out or anything, but you don't want to be off the radar too long.
Yeah, you know, it's a credit to the Bill Self and also all of his predecessors and think about the level that Kansas basketball is at, where you've got a team who has won. A school has won, 11 straight conference championships, and has made it to has been a as long as Bill Self has been there, he's been lower than I think a fourth seed in the NCAA tournament, and they won the first round of games and lost in the field of 32, and you're right, even after all of that, 27 win season, it still feels like it's not. Things aren't quite right. Something is just wrong. And simply it's because the level of expectations for a program like Kansas is so high. And so as far as next year is concerned, one of the things that's really exciting for Landon, and I think for a lot of fans, is the fact that there have been some losses to the NBA with, you know, Kelly Oubre and Cliff Alexander, but a lot of the core guys are back, and now a lot of the core guys are moving into that upperclassman realm where you've got Perry Ellis, who's a senior, Landon will be a junior, a lot of the other, you know, some of the main guys will be Frank Mason, their starting point guard will be a junior. I mean, you know, four out of the five guys who were starting that, you know, that game and last year, that last game, are returning. And that is something where I think Bill Self, you know, is very excited about, because now he has some guys who understand his system, have been around his program for a while, and I think what you're going to find is a more experienced team that's battle tested, that's going to be able to handle whatever's thrown at them in the NCAA tournament. So, yes, I do think that they're going to definitely fare better than they have the past couple of years. And I think there's a chance for a nice deep run.
Very good. You know, during this program, the half an hour we do with Richard, because he is a top flight State Farm insurance owner, and Richard would never say that he's a very humble, a man of integrity, and I just really happy to have him as a friend. But I talk to other people, they say he's just wonderful as a State Farm insurance owner. We ask a couple insurance questions. Richard, I have a couple, and we always come up with a new one. Are you kind of shocked I can keep these new ones coming? Or
I am. It's not like people sit around and talk about insurance on a Friday night. So, yeah, you must be doing some homework.
Richard, two things here that I'd like for you to answer. You're parked in the Fred Meyer, which is my favorite store. I don't mind saying that. You're parked in the Fred Meyer parking lot, and you walk out, and somebody has dented your car. What do you do then? Number two is you're parked in the Fred Meyer parking lot, and somebody rams and does some pretty significant damage with a shopping cart. Do you have any options?
So if something like that, you come out and there's been damage to your car, there are a couple of options that you do have. First of all, it depends on what type of coverage that you have. Sometimes people will ask me, you know, what is full coverage and you know, what is liability only? Well, the liability only is what the essentially what the state requires you to have. You have to have at least liability, which is making sure that you can take care of someone else's vehicle or their body if you were to hit them and it was your fault. There are no mandatory requirements to have coverage on your own vehicle. So if somebody has just liability on their car and they come out and there's a big dent or something on their, you know, on their door or whatever it might be, to be honest with you, the unfortunate thing is there wouldn't be any coverage at that point in time. So, and if there's no witnesses or nothing that can show who did it, then that person would be out of luck, you know, in that regard. There is an opportunity, though, for it to be put under an uninsured motorist coverage, and those vary depending on the policy as well. Now, if you do have the comprehensive and collision on it, or at least the comprehensive coverage, and then you can just claim it against your coverage and just have your insurer take care of it. The one thing I always tell people, though, is that when it comes to anything going on with your car, whether it's an accident happens in the middle of the street or you come out and you see that something was gone wrong with your car, try to find a witness as quickly as possible. If you see anybody who is around, go up to them, ask to see if they have seen what happened, because a witness really helps when it comes in the claim process.
And you know what? I've got a great question for Richard next week. So this is the Well, no, you're going to be in Hawaii next week, right, Richard?
I will be gone, yes. I'll be on a beach.
You will be gone. Yeah, you'll be gone. You know, I'm saying that about Hawaii, but Richard will not be on the program next week. So we're going to be 2 weeks from now. But I did want to ask you, Richard, that kind of brush up, not that you need any because you're an expert in insurance. What does traffic tickets do to your insurance? That's always a great question. I've never asked that one, so in 2 weeks I'm going to ask that. Okay. And I wanted to ask you just a quick follow-up to what you talked about. Is it worth it to go back into the store, no matter whose parking lot you're in, because everybody's got security cameras now, and try and see if there's something that can happen there?
Yeah. Yeah, the reason why that makes sense is because with your with the license plate, you were able to, the police are able to track down who the insurance company is for that vehicle. Because it all is goes through the DMV. So if for some reason that you go back into Fred Meyer and a video camera catches a car that is, you know, run into the side of your car and drive away, and if you can see that license plate clearly, that is something that you can take to the police and have the police find out who that person is, and then maybe you can get their insurance company to pay for the damages to your car. So I think that that is a very smart thing to do, and really, you know, claims folks at the different insurance companies, they do the same thing. You know, they will try to figure out if there is something that that they can do. You know, if there's an accident and it's a he said, she said, or whoever said, but there's a dispute between the two parties, you know, if there is a video evidence or, again, a third party who is totally neutral, then they'll ask those questions and look for video evidence, and then they'll make a determination on who truly is liable for the accident.
Very good. Great information. I said in 2 weeks we're going to ask about traffic tickets, and we will, because there's a lot of sidewalk insurance people that give opinions about that, and I'm sure a lot of their answers aren't right. We'll ask an expert in Richard Lucas, owner of a State Farm Insurance agency and also highly successful with that. Richard, quickly, how can they get a hold of you if people want to know more and they've heard that tonight?
Yep, they can give us a call, 503-200-5545. I'd be loved to talk to you about insurance, about sports. We can talk about life, Greg. I'm okay with any of that.
Sounds very good. Speaking of life, Richard, I want your expert opinion. We live in the town of Portland, Oregon, but you go around the world, Portland is a popular logo. You know, a lot of people have Trailblazer stuff. A friend of mine just saw it in Russia. So Blazers are kind of out there, I guess, because of Paul Allen, and they got Damian Lillard. They got these stars, LaMarcus Aldridge. I think last year, Richard, to finish the season, they won 9 straight games. They went in and upset Houston in the first round. You know, not so much of an upset, but it looked like they were doomed. And Lillard, and now this year, they're really beat up. They lose their last 4. There's kind of like this, somebody took the air out of the city. Does that make any difference? Is it going to make any difference come Sunday when they open the playoffs?
You know, that is a really difficult question, simply because there are really 2 ways that this can go. You know, you have a team that is kind of limping their way into the postseason and not playing particularly well. And, you know, what you don't want to have happen is that mindset kind of flow, overflow into the start of the playoffs, and you start off kind of not playing at your best. Or they could look at this as 0-0, a completely new season. Everybody's on the same level. You know, some of those games were lost kind of toward the end because they were sitting guys for precautionary purposes as well. So, you know, they weren't completely full in terms of their roster on some of those games. So some of those losses have to be taken with a kind of a grain of salt. So, I mean, you know, I'm looking at it on the optimistic side that they are probably saying, let's turn this page. Let's get our guys as much as we can. I know Flalo is, you know, potentially will be back here soon. But, you know, there's some nicks, some bruises. But when I can tell you one thing, nicks and bruises and some of these kind of things, when it comes playoffs and when it comes time to perform, It's amazing how adrenaline changes things. How does somebody hurt themselves in the heat of battle and continue to play throughout the remainder of the game? It's because that's the adrenaline that's pumping. And so, I think that they're going to perform just fine. And if they can get all of their pieces together, then I think they could be a dangerous team.
Very good. I kind of almost think that, too. When nobody expects anything, that's when you got a really dangerous team.
Yeah.
Richard, you were born and raised in California. What do you think about the Lakers? Are they so far down? Can they come back? In a second part of that, I personally feel the NBA needs good teams in New York and Los Angeles. The Lakers, they got one in the Clippers. I just feel that way. A lot of people disagree with me, but I think also the Celtics. There's something about having great teams in those cities that just raises the NBA. But what do you think about the Lakers? And I know you followed them for years.
Yeah, I'm a huge Laker fan growing up, and I was down during the whole three-peat and all the stuff with Magic and Kareem and Showtime. And so, the Lakers will be back, okay? They have fallen off, but if the Memphis Grizzlies fall off or the Milwaukee Bucks fall off, it could take a decade before you see them have any type of success again. The Lakers will be back. What it's going to take, because they are still the preeminent team in Los Angeles. I know they're down, but as a Laker fans are not going to just all of a sudden jump to the Clippers. It's not happening. Laker fans are just waiting for a couple of things to happen, and then they'll be back. And it's still one of the top destinations for free agents. They have to just get a few people to figure out and play together, get a whole big three type of thing where they get a few people, a few pieces, and they come to Los Angeles, and immediately that can be turned around. I mean, think about, LeBron. LeBron, goes down to L.A. or to Miami, their Eastern Conference Finals, and win the title a couple of years, and then he leaves, and they don't even make the playoffs. So it tells you that you can very quickly turn it back on and turn it back off if you have the right pieces. And so it's going to take is they're getting a bunch of cap room in there. They're going to have the money to be able to pay some of these high level guys, and in the end, it's still the Lakers. The Yankees are still the Yankees. You know what I mean? It's like these are, even when these teams are down, they're still the best. They're still the best franchises. So, it's disappointing in the short term. But I'm not worried that 5 years from now they're still bad, because they won't be.
And what do you think about this, Richard, which I have put out there ahead of everybody else, that I feel like eventually, speaking of the big three, and I've been saying this for 2 years because I watched the NBA closely, you're going to see Durant, Westbrook, and Love in Laker uniform.
Yeah. And do you know that? And I agree that that's a very distinct possibility for that to happen. And do you know that immediately, just in just one season, that puts the Lakers back in contention for the Western Conference Championship, just like that, with those guys getting together. So. But those guys, in that kind of circumstance, typically you're not going to see those guys go to, Portland. Those three are not going to show up in Portland, or they're not going to Utah. The Lakers have enough of a draw and a history and the market to be able to have those guys come and have very successful careers and turn the Lakers back to the Lakers of old.
Well, and let's face it, it's not unrealistic, because you got the Love You know, that you got the Love family connection, who has a long history in California, even though Stan, who, full disclosure here, is a very good friend of mine, and I don't talk to him about Kevin, but his Stan is a good friend of mine. You've got that connection there where they grew up there, where his uncle lives and a lot of relatives, Kevin, where he works out in the summer. You've got Westbrook and him, who are strong friends. Westbrook, the UCLA connection,
UCLA.
And Durant and Westbrook have become terrific friends. And I'm not sure if Kevin Durant, as great a player as he is, can win an NBA title in Oklahoma City. It probably ain't going to happen. So that's why I think this is not that far-fetched.
I agree 100%. I agree 100%. And if it's not those exact three pieces, maybe it's two of those three pieces. You know, who knows which order it is, plus one other guy who to be named later. But it is not far-fetched, just as you mentioned, to see three guys who get to, you know, put their arms around each other and say, let's go do this, because they've seen how successful it can be. I mean, who would have thunk 2 years ago that Cleveland would even be mentioned in any breath regarding playoffs, let alone winning a championship? And it all changed on a dime because of LeBron, you know, and Kyrie, and now Kevin. So it's definitely possible. And I, as a Laker fan, would love it, because, I mean, I definitely want that. You want the Knicks to be good, which I think eventually they will start getting things right. And you want Boston to be good. You want those traditional powers to be good, just like in football you want, you know, the Patriots and, you know, I mean, you want the best teams to be good.
You want the 49ers.
You want the 49ers, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's important for those, you know, if the Tennessee Titans jump up and are good a year, great. But, you know, if they're the best team year after year, then there's something wrong.
Richard, what do you think? Mark Cuban, you know, who's not always right. I know he's filthy rich, and sometimes people think that people filthy rich are right. I'm not saying he's wrong. You know, he's been hammering about college basketball, boring, and everything. But I even tweeted out the other day and put his, if he really cares about college basketball, in my opinion, this is my opinion, he would fight to get the rules changed. The timeout structure's all screwed up. They need to maybe lower the shot clock or do something with it. They need to bring back pre-game dunking. They need a lot of things. And the rules are just kind of antiquated. What's your thoughts on college basketball? And the pro game can get awful boring, too, at times.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the pro game gets boring because the atmosphere is not there. You know, I mean, people, when they go to these games, they go to be seen. I mean, you know, it's so crazy to see people all completely decked out and dolled up to go to see a basketball game. And it's so crazy to me. I mean, it's like you're going to watch just guys play. It's, you know, a sporting event, and you see guys in literally in suits and ties, and I've just never seen that before. But it just feels so stuffy sometimes. And, you know, the Blazer games can be fun if the Blazers are playing well and things are kind of getting going. And I think there's some other teams around the league that have some great atmosphere, but a lot of them can be very stuffy and boring. And the real fans who really get after it are at the 300 nosebleed levels and can't really impact the game at all. So, you know, so I get it from the NBA sometimes being kind of stuffy. Now, I guess maybe because I'm a big college basketball fan, I'm okay with it. You know, yeah, maybe the shot clock a little less, but it's not like my eyes are bleeding, and that's the way I have a feeling that people are taking this to this level, like, oh, the game is horrible. I don't see it that way. I see guys who are playing hard. Yes, maybe the game, the scoring's in the 40s or 50s, but I see guys who are playing hard. Nobody's standing in four corners just holding the ball. I mean, you know, people are moving. It's just that you know, maybe these guys are not quite as talented, and maybe there's shots that are missed. Maybe there's too much overcoaching between the coaches and too many sets. I don't know. I feel like when I'm watching a game, though, I don't have that feeling like, oh, this is terrible or the game has gotten so bad. You know, I don't know how different it really is from the time that I played. It seems pretty similar to me. Seems like the scoring's about the same, and maybe it's a little less, but it doesn't seem like it's changed a tremendous amount. So, yeah, maybe you lower the shot clock a little bit, but I'm okay pretty much with the college game being about the kids and about the atmosphere, and it seems like it's doing okay to me.
All right, I'm going to ask you some lightning round because we got about 2 minutes. Quick answers, Richard, okay?
Yep.
Krzyzewski or John Wooden?
I would say Krzyzewski because the environment is completely different. The one and dones and all of that has changed the game. So what he's done in this environment is so different than what John Wooden did when guys stayed 4 years.
Who has a longer pro career, Okafor or Kaminsky?
I think it's going to be Okafor. Okafor is so dominant inside. He is physically just as big or bigger than the guys he's going to be playing. Very natural position inside. Kaminsky is good, but the things that Kaminsky does well, some of those things, and I'm not sure that's going to translate to the next level. I go with Okafor.
Are you all right with one and done, or would you rather see two and done, or just no duns?
Combination. I say let the kids go directly from high school if they are good enough. If they decide to go to college, they have to be there for at least 2 years. The 1 year is a complete and utter joke. I mean, it is a joke to have somebody go to school for 1 year because after Christmas, they're just showing up because they know that they're done. They just got to get through the rest of the next couple of months. So 2 years, either straight through, or if you're going to go to college, you got to be there for two.
All right, Richard, as you know, I'm pretty good about this stuff. I had Michigan State in the Final Four this year.
Yes, sir.
In December, and everybody thought I was crazy. So here we go, Richard. Crawford crazy, or is he on to something? I'm saying Final Four next year, Oregon Ducks.
I think you're crazy. I think you're crazy. Yeah, it's just I just don't see, you know, if you said, hey, the Sweet 16 next year, totally agree with that. Maybe even an Elite Eight, potentially. But when they get to that level, I don't think, unless they get a big guy, a true big guy, I don't see them getting past some of these big-time teams.
Okay, final question of the night because we got a little less than a minute left. Do the Oregon State Beavers make the NCAA tournament next year?
Absolutely, absolutely. The foundation that he's laid from this year, I think, is going to completely this wasn't an aberration. This was the start of the way you build a program. And I've even seen Oregon State's name associated with some pretty good recruits as well. So very quickly he has turned this thing around. I think they are at least a 20 plus win season team. And if for some reason they don't make the NCAA tournament, I do think that they could be this year's or next year's Stanford team regarding the NIT.
Very good, and great job tonight, Richard. And we'll talk to you soon, and we'll be back in 2 weeks with the Lucas and Crawford on B-Ball Show. Everybody make your free throws. Good night, Richard, and don't forget we're going to talk about traffic tickets as well in 2 weeks. Everybody make your free throws.
Bye-bye.
Good night, Richard. Bye.